seventh chapter. We go into, well, actually it's a reconstruction of chapter 36, but this is a vision. Now we go into a vision. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. Now this is the seventh time that we have the phrase, the hand of the Lord was upon me. In chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 14 and 22, chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 33, verse 22, 36, verse 1, 37, verse 1, where we are. And then the last one, the eighth one, will be in chapter 40, verse 1. And 8 is the number of a new beginning. So the hand of the Lord is toward that fact. So we have a similar thing. Again, I mentioned this before, but I'll mention again, as we have in the book of Revelation, where John's body was on the Isle of Patmos, his spirit was taken out of his body and transported to different scenes. So we have Ezekiel by the river of Kibar, and his body is transported to different scenes. And here we have the scene is the valley, which is full of bones. I give this two divisions. 1 through 14, I call the resurrection. And 15 through 28, the reunion. Now you can name these, like I say, the way you want to. So he was put in a valley of dry bones, and he caused, verse 2, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many, not just a few, an innumerable company, innumerable amount, rather, of dry bones in the open valley, and they were very dry, dusty dry, no moisture whatsoever. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now here I believe we have the fact that in man's sight, in man's way of thinking, the answer would be, without doubt, no, these bones cannot live. We see Israel here with all hope gone, no rest in anything. The only thing, the only hope they could have would be in the work of God. This is a miracle. This is something that only God can do. So in a natural mind, the answer would be, Lord God, thou knowest. Nobody knows but him about this. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now notice what moves. First, we have the word prophesy. The word prophesy is simply speaking in the place of God. It's the word of God. In John 5, notice what Jesus made mention of a similar thought. Verse 21, for as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, or make them alive, even so the Son quickeneth who he will. So it's the power of God. Jesus is the Word of God, you see, and it's the Word of God that is prophesied upon his bone. Then in chapter 6 of John, and I believe it's verse 63, if I didn't write, yeah, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the work of the Spirit. Now the word Spirit in the New Testament is the Greek word pneuma, which also is translated wind or breath. And so it's the Spirit of God. It's a spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit that will move upon these bones when the word is applied. And here's the word. Hear ye the word of the Lord. In Romans 10, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. So it's God speaking. Ezekiel is simply an agent by this. But the Lord is the speaker. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now the word spirit and the word breath, see, is the same word. In Genesis 2, verse 7, we read that that God breathed unto Adam, and he became a living soul. So life then came into a dead body by breath. And we'll see this later on. Well, here's what he's going to do. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Now, this is part of the prophecy of what God is going to do for the nation Israel. He's going to breathe upon them. In verse 6, we read, other than being alive, that he's going to lay sinew upon them. Now, the word sinew comes from a Hebrew word that means tendons. And I looked this up in a dictionary, and I'm going to read it to you so you might understand what it's saying better than I could say it. But the word tendon is a band of tough, fibrous connective tissues to transmit its force, to some other part. Now, it's a fibric tissue that actually makes other parts of the body strong. And the thought here is simply strength, to bring strength into the body. And then he's going to take these tendons and muscles and put skin upon them, and they're going to live. Now, this is a prophecy. Then we find a fulfillment of this prophecy in verse 7. Simply obedience brought forth fulfillment. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. In order is the thought, in perfect order. In other words, the knee bone didn't go up to the shoulder, and the ankle bone go to the neck. They went where they were supposed to go. When God began to shake him. I was thinking about this noise and this shaking early this morning, and it reminded me of the 18th Psalm, when Jesus was dying upon the cross. God came to his aid, and he said he flew. See if I can find that real quick here. It's in the 18:7. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because of his wrath. And there went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and so forth. This is when he came to the aid of his son, when he was dying upon the cross. Now, we have a similar thought. When he comes to the aid of Israel, then there is going to be a shaking here also, and a noise. And these bones are start going to come together. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. They were just dead carcasses without breath. Now, there may be an outward appearance of something, but without the Spirit of God, there's nothing there. So he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now, here we have the word wind, the same as we had for spirit and breath. Son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and prophesy unto these slain, that they may live. I think this is used 8 times in this portion. Anyway, when we talk about prophesying unto the wind, we're saying to the Holy Spirit. See, we're talking about the Spirit of God. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man goes where it come. So also is the Spirit of God. So, this came. Well, we might ask, well, why four winds? Well, four is the number of the world, and Israel will be an earthly people. So I think that's why we have the word four there. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, God is going to do this for Israel, and they're going to have an army that nothing can beat. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So we don't have to wonder who these bones are, do we? It plainly tells us that this is the whole house of Israel. Not individuals, but the whole house. Not the church, but the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. We have nothing, no hope, but our hope will have to be in the Lord God. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land. Now these graves is the Gentile captivity that they've been in since 606 BC, and even before that in for the 10 tribes. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, and my people, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and set them as living people. How many years have they been dry and dead, as far as any spiritual benefit to God whatsoever? But now it won't be for always. And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and shall I shall place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord, as spoken and perform it, saith the Lord. Now, God is going to have but one people. During Jeroboam and Rehoboam's time, the oneness of Israel was divided into 10 tribes and 2 tribes, but this won't be during the kingdom age. He says, Behold, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions, then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim for all the house of Israel and his companion. Now the 10 tribes is many times referred to as Ephraim. And the companions are those that were identified with the 10 tribes. Then we have the 2 tribes for Judah and Benjamin, and yet there was other bordering ones that identified themselves with them. So he made 2 sticks, and notice in verse 17, and join them one to another, one stick, and they shall be one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, wilt thou not show us what the meaning of these? Well, when they say this, when they ask to be shown, then say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, and in the hand which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes, and I'll just make one stick out of them, and there'll be one in mine hand. And so this is what God is going to do. Let's drop down to verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land of the mountains of Israel, and one king, and we know who this one king is, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ, that shall be their king of all, and they shall no more be 2 nations, the north and the south, or the 10 and the 2, or Ephraim and Judah. They shall be divided into 2 kingdoms any more at all. And so there'll be a wonderful unification of them. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with idols. So God is going to change their whole attitude, their mind, when Jesus is reigning. And David my servant, verse 24, shall be king over them. And this is what will do this. Let's drop down to verse 26. More, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will make them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them evermore. So this will be a permanent place for them, and a permanent covenant with them, a covenant of love written upon their hearts, not a covenant on a stone. And my tabernacle shall be with them, or my dwelling place will be with them, just like in the days of old. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Leviticus 26:11, I believe it is. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. So all the other nations is going to know this. They're going to see what God has done for Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. So this is God's working on his people.